So far we have nothing, says Wally, a large man who seems more to hunker down over his desk in the squad room than to sit at it. Russo and Alan are having similar difficulties. Their efforts to track down the missing Troy are getting them nowhere. The jail prisoner they talked to didn't know any Troy, was no help at all. The fast food worker named Troy that Melwood came up with can't be located and might not be the right one anyway. On his application form at the restaurant, he put a phony address down. They have tips to three other men who might be their Troy, but so far, they've hit dead ends. By Thursday, the only thing for sure about the week's two cases is that both are getting older and harder to solve. George Hurt is sitting at his desk, shaking his head. He has the reading glasses he usually wears while doing paperwork off, and the tip of one of the earpieces clenched in his teeth. The plastic tip is grooved from being clenched there often. It's that kind of job. Hurt has to shake his head because he's mildly amused, confused, and annoyed. In the wake of the week's two slayings, he's sat back and watched and read about two occurrences that have left him perplexed. The Connable murder has resulted in a civic meeting between police officials and Riverside residents, and members of the gay community are airing fears that gays in the neighborhood are being targeted by gunmen. So far, the issue has played well in the newspapers and on TV, but the problem is that no one has checked with Hurt or the case detectives Wally and Chiani about it, and as far as they're concerned, such fears are unfounded. As far as we know at this point, sexual preference had nothing to do with it, Hurt is saying. We're looking at it as random violence. Some kid with a gun wanted to pop somebody, and he did. Hurt says the confusion on the case has been further compounded because the night before, one of the local TV news programs out of Miami showed a composite drawing of Troy from the Moody case and said it was the man police were seeking in the Connable shooting. Troy is a white man, the Connable suspect is black. Unbelievable how it gets sometimes, Hurt says. Shortly before midnight on Thursday, July 2nd, Johnny Adeans becomes number 40. Detectives Phil Mundy and Pete Melwood, along with Hurt, are called in from home. But there is no murder scene to respond to this time. Adeans died in a hospital. He'd been found in his car in the 600 block of Northwest 16th Avenue, bleeding from several bullet wounds. He was alive when medical rescuers got there and was transported to Broward General Medical Center. He made it no further. The case presents one more irony of homicide investigation. The effort to save Johnny Adeans had been valiant, but in the end unsuccessful. And, as in most cases where such efforts are made, the crime scene has basically been destroyed, left unpreserved because of rescue efforts inside Adeen's car to save him. It means the effort to save someone may hurt the effort to charge those responsible for his death.